The blame for the Office of Personnel Management cyber breach is on OPM right now. But OPM says the breach wasn't its fault. Larry Allen is president of Allen Federal Business Partners, and he writes the Week Ahead newsletter. And one of the things you're writing about this week, Larry, is the OPM cyber breach. And you point out that if nobody's to blame for the breach, somebody must be. And the finger always gets pointed in what direction, do you think, Larry?
The finger always gets pointed in the direction of the contractor, Francis. Whether it's the OPM data breach, whether it's failure with the Affordable Health Care Act website, whether it's any other cyber incursion into federal data, project mess management, the contractor is the entity at the lowest rung on the ladder, and that's the one that everybody higher up on the ladder can point down to and say it's their fault.
You write in the newsletter this week, when your firm does federal business, you must take into account the what-if factor. How do you appropriately account for the what-if factor, Larry?
Well, I think it really varies, Francis, depending on the agency with which you're doing a particular piece of work. For example, if you're doing work with a high-profile agency like the Department of Veterans Affairs, you really have to take the what-if factor into account because it's a very high-profile agency. Lots of congressional hearings on how the VA manages or fails to manage the delivery of veterans benefits lately, how they manage the construction of VA hospitals. So if you're doing business with a customer like that, you need to double check all the minutiae of your contract to ensure that everybody knows what's called for, what's expected, and importantly, what's not expected or covered.
You write about a lot of little details that people should be thinking about, too. And you can find those in the Week Ahead newsletter. We have a link at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. You write that because you think people miss those details, Larry? Is that correct?
Well, these are some of the ones that are most common. Things like the task orders that are issued under a multi-year contract don't really match up with the master contract, things like where you got your product from that you're supplying under this contract. There are numerous ways that a contractor can trip itself up, but there are alarmingly similar ones that pop out the most, and that's what I was writing about.
You point out that the life or death of a company is at stake here. We've heard a lot in the last several weeks about Keypoint because that's the contractor that OPM has fingered in the data breach problem. But you also point out USIS, who preceded Keypoint as the company that did a lot of the security clearance screening for OPM, and they're not really around in any healthy form anymore.
They're not, and this was the warning. Nobody could really believe for that USIS could actually be in jeopardy, nor could its parent company actually be in jeopardy because of a federal contract problem, even one as well politicized and published as the Edward Snowden affair that was really the spearhead of all of the background investigation problems, and they're gone. And look, I think particularly now when we're in the federal buying season, companies need to keep at the forefront of their mind that you're not just selling whatever piece of hardware or software or professional service that you're selling. You're selling your company, and you're selling your company's reputation. Damage that, and you have a very hard time continuing on to do business anywhere in the public sector.
Larry Allen's the president of Allen Federal Business Partners. We are right in the prime of federal buying season. And you point out, as we get to year end, there are three areas where people have potential, at least, to miss out on money. And one of those, you write, is that socioeconomic status matters. What's the advantage that some companies have this time of year that they have all year round, but that could make them more money between now and September 30th?
Well, there are really two main advantages that small and socioeconomically disadvantaged companies have right now, Francis. First is the ability for agencies to have little or limited competition to award a contract, let's say, to an 8A business. In some cases, you can award a contract to an 8A business with no competition. So when you're a contracting officer and you've got a pile of work to do between now and year end, the ability to move quickly is at a premium. And using a small business with expedited and simplified acquisition methods is a great way to move a lot off of your desk in a very timely manner. So that's the first advantage. The second advantage is we saw this week that the federal government issued its report card for how well agencies used small businesses last year. Well, the report card was pretty good. Agencies would like to make sure that it stays pretty good. So here at year end, if a federal agency hasn't quite come up to snuff on its small business use numbers, the year end time frame is the time to remedy that and really award a lot of contracts to small businesses so that it meets or exceeds its agency small business goal. So those are two real factors.
Another thing you write that people should keep in mind as we get to the end of the fiscal year is schedules, MACs, and GWACs, but not assisted services.
Well, right. And at the outset, let me say, look, I'm a big fan of assisted acquisition services. That is, services that some agencies, usually GSA, perform to help other agencies. But this is federal year end, and a lot of those assisted services operations have cutoff dates after which they won't take any new business. So if you don't have business in that pipeline already, you're probably too late for that. On the other hand, being able to say, look, you can buy from me through my GSA schedule, you can buy from me through NASA SOUP or DHS Eagle, any number of one of these standing MAC or GWAC vehicles, it again tells the contracting officer a lot like the message from using small business. I can move a lot of business off of my desk quickly by using a standing procurement vehicle rather than starting a procurement from scratch. It's July 1st. I don't have time to start my contracts from scratch. I need to be able to find a way to manage a lot of this business. I'm going to use schedules and MAC contracts to help me meet my mission.
You also tell folks to keep eBuy in mind, not eBay.
No.
eBay's great, but doesn't work in government contracting. eBuy. What do people miss out on eBuy, Larry?
Well, Francis, eBuy is a GSA manifestation, but it really comes into play, especially at federal year-end, because agencies will post electronic RFQs, requests for quotes, on eBuy, and they will have met their competitive requirement when they do that posting, and they can meet their needs very quickly by using a schedule contract or another GSA vehicle. And what I mean by companies losing out on business is, look, even if you're not one of the companies originally selected to receive the RFQ, if you are eligible to see that on eBuy, you're on the right schedule to see that, then you can submit an offer, and so long as that offer is timely, it has to be considered on an equal basis with every other offer. And Francis, experience has shown that companies win business year after year, especially at end of year, even when they weren't one of the companies at the forefront of their customer's mind originally. Simply put, if your company isn't sitting on eBuy and watching the postings at least daily, you are losing business. eBuy and having an eBuy strategy at fiscal year end is that important.